as the choir's coming down, I just want to celebrate along with you how wonderful it is to see how intergenerational we are becoming in all of our worship expressions. Amen? Did you notice that? We even have some newer of our youth along with some of our always young at heart people that have been up here doing the worship, and we just rejoice in how God continues to open the hearts and the gifts of the body of Christ to come and celebrate and to lead us in worship. 3 weeks ago, I was pleased to introduce this series on What on Earth Am I Here For? And my challenge was that we need to pray and open our hearts and our minds to what God might want to say to us. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Eddie shared how God has called you, each one of us, for a special purpose that God has for us. God himself has for us in our lives. Last week, Pastor Paula shared the insight that a foundational reason why you are on this earth is to be loved. Before you do anything else, as she said, before you try to do anything for God, just hear and allow God to love you. God is love. God loves you, and God called you to be loved by him. And this week, we look at another part of what on earth we are all here for. God has called you for a special purpose. God has called you to be loved, and God has called you to belong. Isn't that a special concept, a special thought, to belong? I don't know if you've seen some of the videos that you see on Facebook every now and then that where maybe a dog is chosen from a shelter to finally have a home, and the people go to pick up the dog, and the dog gets so excited. That dog runs up and down and barks and yelps and yowls, and that dog is so excited because that dog is finally realizing it's going to belong with a family. From my office window, I can see the Avalon school children during the week, especially during recess. And at the beginning of each year, I kind of watch out there, and you'll see them, the new kids on the block. Whatever age, they're new to the school, and they're the ones that are kind of standing behind the trees by themselves, are off wandering the perimeter of the property on their own, just kind of wandering around, heads down, unsettled, unconnected. And then a teacher or some other students come to their side and begin to talk with them and invite them to an activity. And within minutes, they are gleefully running and laughing, for they belong. It's so special, so important for you to know that you belong. God's good news of what on earth am I here for is found in our second reason for today. The second purpose of my life is to belong to God, to belong to his family, to belong to his church, which is going to go on forever into eternity. In Hebrews 2:10, it says, "It was fitting that God, from whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Meaning God, who created the whole universe, also created humans and you and me, and through the perfect sacrifice of his Son, he allows us to become much more than parts of a creation, but also his children, with him as our Father, and for us to be a family, to belong together. This has been his plan from the very beginning of time. In Ephesians 1:5 it says, "He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will." First purpose of God's will for my life is that I be loved by him, and the second is that I belong to him and his family. And this family of God is called his church. That's what God calls his family, the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 3, it says, "I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these instructions to you so that you may know how one ought to live in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth." We become part of a house, of a home, of a household, the church of the living God. God formed us for his family. He formed us to be part of his church, and you and I are called to belong to that family, to the church. I am to belong to his church. In Ephesians 2:19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God." Think of that. We are members of the house, of the home, of the household of God through Christ. The word church in the Bible is a Greek word, ekklesia, and it's from the word which means called. It means you're called out. The word church literally means the group of people who are called by God, the called out, the called by God people. It's weird, though, if you go and ask people on the street, what do you think church is? You get a variety of answers that really aren't what the church is supposed to be. Some will say, well, it's that building right down the street over there. Some will say, well, it's something you go to when you don't have anything else to do. Or some people will say, I'm going to church. Church is not just an event or a program or a building. It's not just something you go to. Church is something you belong in, something you belong to. It's not an event. It's not a location. It is a place of relationships with God and your church family. The church is the people of God. And when we receive Christ, we come to belong to the church. We worship here. We have a place here. We belong here. And I'd like to share with you a few metaphors that talks about the church, and it tells you the depth and the levels of the things that happen to us through being a part of this church. The first thing is, he calls his church God's family. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family." God's will is for all of us, all of his creatures, all of his people, to come and be a part of his large family. That's why he so loved the world that he gave his son. He wants us to be a part of his family through the church. It's like no other family out there. And in that family is a real special thing. In God's family, I learn my true identity. Your true identity is not found in the world. It's not found in your parents or in your peers or anyone else. People say, I'm seeking for myself. I'm trying to find myself. You won't find it out there. People get all consumed about their identity, about what people think of me or what I think I should be or what I should look like. And the advertising industry and the people that produce materials around us want us to feel that if you buy my brand, it'll give you your identity. I'll give you clothes with my name on them so you can say, look at me, I'm really somebody because I'm wearing their brand. I remember when my daughter was only 2 years old, we were at a Macy's basement sale, and we found the cutest little pair of sneakers for her for only $2. The only problem is they were Nike. Do you buy a two-year-old Nikes and get her started? Even though they're only a couple bucks, do you start her in the Nikes? Where she's identifying when she goes to school, oh, you have Nikes. Where that becomes her identity. I've got to have Nikes, or I have to have another brand. I remember one lady that used to go to the Goodwill store. She would buy name brand clothes for just a couple bucks just to get the label off of them and sew them onto her Walmart clothes for her kids. So the kids would feel that I am identifying. I've got an identity now. I'm important because I have the right name on it. Do we like to show the label on our Starbucks cup when we work along with it? Do we like to say, oh, excuse me, I have to get my Apple Watch, my iPad, my iPhone? We wear the brandings of sports teams. They're just trying to sell us stuff. They don't care what we say at the TV to them, no matter how much you're wearing. They're not going to listen to you. But we think that stuff forms our identity. But your true identity can only be found in a relationship with God and with his family, the church. As it said there in Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers of aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. It doesn't matter what other relationships you have, your most important relationship is God's family. That's the permanent relationship, the one that's going to last forever. The world will judge all kinds of people on external stuff, but God looks at the heart. God looks at whether you have come to Him, you love Him, and whether you're allowing Him to love you. The world describes people on their height and their weight and their color and their sex and their nationality and their education, their job and their income and their politics. But there's something more important than any of these identities, and that's when you're a member of the family of God, the church. Nothing on this earth is going to last, not even nations. In fact, no kingdom lasts 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 10,000 years. Where is the Hittite Empire? Where is the Assyrian Empire? Where is the Roman Empire? They didn't last. If you want your identity to last, put it in something that's never going to end. And God tells us that is in His family, His forever family, the church, and that will go on for eternity. Hebrews 2:11 says this, "For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." It's another caveat about being in this family, God's family. If you have invited Christ into your heart and into your life, did you know that Jesus calls you His sister or His brother? It says it right there. I mean, have you ever had a sister or brother you were ashamed of? Don't answer. Don't answer. You may have, but Jesus is not ashamed to call His brother or sister, call you His brother or sister, no matter how messed up you can be at times. Why? Because you're in the family. When you've come to Christ, He's asked Him to forgive you your sins, have accepted His sacrifice on your behalf and His forgiveness, your past, your sins don't define you anymore. Yes, you sin, but they're not your defining characteristic. And I want you to watch one thing. I remember in my one church, a fella, he had embezzled at his workplace. And he had gone to his people above him, his superiors. He had confessed it to them. He lost his job. He paid it all back. They didn't press charges. And he found another job, and he just went through the shame of all of that. And 2 years later, I heard a guy saying, "Oh, that's Joe. He's the one that embezzled from his company." I went over to that brother and I said, "Don't you ever define him that way again. He has been forgiven by God. He's been forgiven for the people he offended. That is behind him. It's gone. You refer to him in something more positive, please." Because we will not refer to each other that way in the family of God, because every one of us got junk. Amen? Tell me, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of us would like to see your most embarrassing, sinful moments of your life? Put up on the screen right now for everybody to see. I didn't think I'd see any hands go up there. No. No. In here, that's not your defining characteristic in the body of Christ. If you want to share what God has delivered you from, that's up to you. But we're not going to let that define you in your life. And by belonging to God's family, all your sins are forgiven. You're washed, and you have a new identity in Jesus Christ. Amen? A lot of people advertise their identity with maybe a button, or maybe a tattoo, or a family crest. Do you know what the mark, the symbol of being in God's family is? I'll just point one time. The baptismal. That's where we put on the mark of being in God's family. Being baptized is a public symbol that says, "I'm not ashamed to say what Jesus has done in my life. I've invited Jesus into my heart as my Savior. He has cleansed away my sins by His blood, and I'm going to go all the way under and come up, and I'm going to say, look, He made me completely clean." Amen? That is the common sign we have that we are, that's the outward symbol that I'm a part of this family. And it's such a meaningful time. And as a matter of fact, in November 20th, we're having a big Thanksgiving celebration together. And in that celebration, we're going to have baptisms. If you have invited Christ into your heart as your Savior and your Lord, and you've never been immersed, please let us know. And we'll be glad to include you in the baptismal, because we would love to see that celebration. We already have some lined up. We'd love to have you join us. The first metaphor, the church is God's family. We all find our true identities through receiving Christ and being part of that church. A second thing is we are God's temple. Isn't that something, that a temple? A temple is a building that's erected to God's glory, if it's a temple of God. It's a building where God's presence shows up, where God is loved, where God is honored and worshiped. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" He's talking to the church. If you look around this church, isn't this something, the marvel of the construction in this place? It takes thousands of different pieces to hold this place together. But the most important part is every one of them have to be cut to the perfect size so they all fit together in one place. If you have a beam that's a half an inch too short, it's not going to hold up this roof. If you have a pipe that's 1 inch too long, it's not going to make the connection. And if all the pieces don't join together just the way they're supposed to, that building will not stand. And that's the way we all are in the body of Christ, in the temple of God. You're with the Pathways family, but you don't belong to the Pathways families, maybe because you've never taken the time to get connected in. Well, it's time to make that commitment, to say, I want to belong here. I want to be more than an attender. I want to be a connecting member of this place. I want to belong. I want to be connected. I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to be a participator, and I want to get connected and be a part of what God is doing here. Why did God choose a temple as one of the illustrations of what it's like to be a family in the church? Because it's a building all connected together. And the benefit is to serve and glorify God as the body of Christ. It's the temple of God. Amen. In Ephesians 2, 21 to 22, it says, "In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." And something that happens when you connect into the temple of God, in God's temple, I am supported. It says in Romans 1:12, "So that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." You do notice that once these boards and these blocks and all are together, they don't give up and just walk away. They don't let one fall down. They are continue to hold together and push together. They're here to support each other. You're not here on your own. You're not here to be a lone ranger. You're not by yourself. You're here to be supported by the whole body together, because we are here to support you. And there are going to be times in your life when you need other people to hold you together. We all do. You're going to need them to hold you together because you're falling apart. Kind of like Dave Ramsey when he talks about finances. He says, you got to get together an emergency fund for a rainy day, because guess what? One day it's going to rain. Same thing here. You need to be a part of the temple, be a part of this body, be a part of this in the inner workings and connected to this church through your membership and your serving and your giving and your caring, so that when that day comes, you can support others, or there is a support for you. Because there will be a day when we need that support. We need that stability. We need to be a part of a family to understand what it's all about. One of the things that we grew up doing, and kids are going all the way into it, they're getting bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller, and now all kind of characters are Legos. Have you seen the variety of Legos out there now? Have you been in a Lego store? I was in one. They made a huge Brontosaurus right there in front of you. I couldn't think who did that. But there's only one purpose for Legos. They're designed to be connected to another. On its own, you say it's a Lego, not Legos. It's a Lego, it's all by itself, but it's made to connect. Otherwise, just a pile of plastic. If they're all separate, they're made to be together. You and I are God's Legos. If we're a believer in Christ, we're God's Lego, and you are designed for connection to be a part of God's temple. And here you are supported as a part of the body of Christ. So pray about getting connected. Make a connection to the body. Get connected to the body that's here. You do realize the number one epidemic, believe it or not, in our society, where we have all kinds of ways of communicating, the greatest epidemic of all to this day is loneliness. The body of Christ is here to be connected in this temple, so we all have that together. A third description is of the church in Scripture is that of a body, and you heard the Scripture read for that today. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of that. Now, obviously, we kind of think what that means. We've heard this 100 times, some of us, but it means that as you look at the human body, we all have different parts on our bodies, and each part is an important part of that body moving and serving and carrying on and working and being active in society. Well, that body is very, very important that all the parts function. And all of us know this. I've seen around here casts on things and surgeries on things and places that people have had to have things. And when you limp around for a while and you want the body to get back. And in God's body, all of us are important. It's so funny, the caricatures it gives that talks about if one part says I'm not necessary or I don't need you, then that doesn't mean it's any less a part of the body. It still is important. And believe it or not, with all the wonderful people we have here are members, all the people we have here are serving, if you are here and you feel led here and you enjoy being here, but you're not serving and you're not a member and you're not actively a part of this body, then this church, as wonderful as God has built it to be, is not what it could be if you were active. You realize you are a body part. You are an important part of this body. Unless your part, flexing your part, we're not who we should be and could be for God. We are valuable. It says in Christ's body, I am valuable. Romans 12, 4-5 says, for as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members one of another. We are one church with many different parts. We're all different. I want you to look around for a minute. Aren't you glad that person doesn't look like you? I'm sure they're glad they don't look like you too. No, nobody is like you. Nobody looks like you. Nobody smells like you. We'll move on. We're all different. God designed us that way. God loves variety and we're thankful, but we're all needed. If I did a whole jigsaw puzzle and had one piece missing, what would you say? It's incomplete. It's a piece missing. That's how we are without you if you're not active as a member in the body of Christ. We're members of one another, it says. I was going to have you turn to the person next to you and say, we belong together, but I thought that might result in some marriage proposals, so I didn't think I'd do that. But it's true. If you're in the family of God, if you're in the body of Christ, if you're in the temple of God, we belong. We're supposed to be connected. We're part of the body, body parts. And just to briefly go with 1 Corinthians 12:15-16, if the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less a part of the body. So if you're saying, well, they really don't need me there, that's wrong. We do. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, well, because I can't go up there with that praise team, I must not be important. Oh, no, that's wrong. Every part of the body is important. That would make it not make it any less a part of the body. I mean, the illustration goes on. It says that the body were just a whole eyeball. I mean, it's kind of funny the way that they puts the caricature out there, but where would the hearing be? Where would the smelling be? If it was all an ear, if it was all a nose. But it's just to show how ridiculous we are to say, oh, it has to be only that way of serving or it's not important. No, it's not true. You are an important part of Christ's body. And we are members of one another, and you are valuable. A valuable part of God's body here. We need each other. Another metaphor he gives us is we're God's flock. He kind of lists this up in 1 Peter 5:2. He says, tend the flock of God. The flock of God. A flock like a flock of sheep. We're God's family. We learn our identity. We're in God's temple. We support each other. We're Christ's body. We each have unique value. And in God's flock, we're banded together. And you might be thinking, well, I'm a sheep. I don't want to be a sheep. Well, but there's an important thing about sheep. Believe it or not, sheep actually are very intelligent. But the thing about it, if you think about it in Psalm 23, just kind of paraphrase on my own, you remember the 23rd Psalm pretty much. Let's put it this way. If you're a sheep, the Lord is your shepherd, and he'll take care of everything. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest and leads me beside still waters. He gives me new strength. Even while I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid, for my shepherd is close beside me. Because of him, my blessings will overflow. And his goodness and his unfailing mercy and kindness will be with me all of my life, and I will live with him forever in his home. Not bad being a sheep now, is it? That's a neat thing about being a sheep. Flock is a good term. I'm a member of God's family. I'm a part of God's temple. I'm a part of God's body, and I am in God's flock. As a part of God's flock, I'm protected and cared for. You don't have to be on your own. It's God's will that you not be on your own. We all need other people looking out for us. And I want you to know that we have a heavenly shepherd. We have here under shepherds, and we have a flock right now. See, look around you. All these people are part of the flock of God, here to surround you, to support you, to care for you, to encourage you. It's so important because so many times we get beaten up in this world. Our families, our marriages are in danger. We're facing a personal crisis. Remember, we have a shepherd, under shepherds, and a flock of other people surrounding us to love us through this. What do people do that don't have this? God, the great shepherd, is there for you. And as a part of God's flock, you also have some people who walk into your life when everybody else walks out of your life. That's what the church is, as we are sheep or we are flocked together. We all need people who will step up and step in for you and with you. It might be a season when you can give and step in for somebody else. It might be a season where you can't do that and they need to step in and help you. Both are important. And the flock of God, God has created two kinds of people who are caregivers. Two kinds of people that will step up for you. Two kinds of people to look out for you. And the first is pastors. Actually, the word pastor means shepherd. And shepherd means pastors. Pastors are here to help care for and love and feed the flock of God. If you want to know the basic job description of every pastor in Pathways, this is it. Out of 1 Peter 5:2, tend the flock of God that is in your charge. Exercise the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. I can speak on all of your staff. We're not here for a paycheck. We're here because we're called and we're honored to be here to serve. We love you. And we want to be there for you. There's a couple little things I want to share with you on that. One is, if you are in need as a part of this flock, you must let us know. If you have a test or you have something fearful, you have something that's going on, we have great confidentiality within our staff. We don't even tell each other if you don't let us or want us to. If you are going through something and you call us, you let us know. But you know how many times in our ministries people have come to the church and said, you know, I was in the hospital and nobody came to see me. You know what our reaction is? When were you in the hospital? Did you call us? No. Did you email us? No. Did you text us? No. Did you ask somebody to tell us? No. Well, I'm sorry we weren't there. I just thought you'd just know. Oops, I'm sorry, somebody's in the hospital right now. Yeah. We don't just drag it out of the air. We are here because we love you. We're here to shepherd one another and the body of Christ. But you got to understand that we are limited to, we have a nice, wonderful, large congregation. We also have another line of shepherding here, and that is within our small groups. Pastor Paula has a great vision that she brought in to our church here, this new Pathways Church. So it's on her heart. You can't even talk to her for 2 minutes and not hear something about small groups. It's in her heart, and it's wonderful because she wants every one of us to be corralled into smaller flocks where we're cared for. So that if those shepherd guys at the church don't hear it, at least your flock leader is going to hear it, and you'll be cared for at many levels then. So if you're not connected to a small group, and you're not calling the shepherds here at the church, then it's your own fault you're not getting cared for. This is a flock. You need to let the shepherds know. Let be in a group of the groupings of other sheep and get together and pray together and care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, support one another, pray for one another, love one another, greet one another. That's what it's all about. It says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 adds, therefore encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. You get strength. You get encouragement from the small group. Let me just ask you a question. Where are you where people are looking out for you? Second question, where are you where you're looking out for other people? See, when you come in this worship sanctuary, it's not just for you to come in and say, I'm going into the church so everybody will come up to me and say, how are you doing? It's sometimes I'm going to that church to say, how are you doing? See, it's a two-way street. That's what it means to be a part of the flock. And there's one more, and that is a God's garden. It's a name for the church. It's an organic metaphor. It has to do with being a part of the church family. It helps you to grow like in a garden, like grapes on a vine. It's talking about a description of Jesus being the vine, and we are the branches. And John 15, 4-5 is the great passage, abide in me as I abide in you. You hear the connection there? You have to be connected to Jesus. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. How many here would like at the end of your life to know that your life mattered? That it was productive? Yes. That's a common feeling of people in the world. We want our lives to be productive, to matter to this world, matter above all to God. I want my life to have mattered, to have made a difference in some way. Everyone wants to end their life feeling like they didn't waste it, that they were productive, they did something that counted. And in God's garden, this church, his church, you want to say, my life is productive. In God's garden, his church, my life becomes fruitful. I do something with my life because I'm connected to the vine Jesus, and they're life-giving life through those vines, and these branches are able to bear fruit. When you serve here, you serve Jesus, you serve the body, you are producing fruit, and that fruit will bear into eternity. Realize anything we do out there, even though we have to do it to keep up, because we're in the world but not of it, but anything you do for Jesus goes into eternity. God has all kinds of fruit that he wants to bear through your life. But you can't unless you're connected to the church, unless you're connected to the vine. I'm a member of God's family. I'm a member of God's temple. I'm a part of Christ's body. I am God's flock. I'm to be fruitfully connected to Jesus and his church. I'd just like to close with a couple words. One, to those of you who have been coming to Pathways Baptist Church, our former churches that we merged into, but haven't yet stepped up to say, I want to become a connected, formal, voting, serving, caring minister, a member of this church, now's the time. You're called to belong, to be connected, to be associated, to be involved. We want to be your family at the deepest level. May you've been looking for places to belong all your life. Well, here it is. This is the most important place. You're wanted. You're welcomed. You need us, and we need you. Today, following this service, straight through these doors here in the conference room, is a new members class. You don't have to join if you go through it, but we'd like you to listen. You'd like to know more about the church. It's for the next few weeks. There's even, now you got to be a serious person now. You can't be a member for 30 years and do this. There's even lunch. So if you'd like to be a member or listen to it, please come to that class. And remember, November 20th, our baptisms. A second thing, the rest of all of us who are already baptized and members of this church, first, are you in a small group? Pastor Paul has got a million of them. Well, a couple thousand. She's trying for a million. But so see her, to get connected into a grouping. And second, very simple, just fall in love with this church. This is Christ's bride. This is his church. Just fall head over heels in love with it. Don't look for things to criticize. Look for things to praise God over. Look for ways to be a part of the solution, not a part of a problem. Don't be here to complain. Be here to explain and to make it better. Just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with his church. Fall in love with the bride of Christ. God's church is the hope of the world. That's why he set it up. Politics are not the hope of the world. Economics are not the hope of the world. Education is not the hope of the world. The hope of the world is a spread of God's love through the church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful that we can be a part of that? The only thing that's going to last in this world is the church of Jesus Christ. So invest the rest of your life in loving it, and working in it, and serving in it, and loving in it, and being loved in it. I remember a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy walked in the room. Linus is watching TV. He's got the remote control in his hand. And she says, "I want you to turn to a channel I want to watch." He says, "What makes you think that you can walk in here and take over?" She says, "These five fingers." He said, "What about them?" She says, "Individually, they are nothing. But when I curl them together in this single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." And Linus said, "What channel do you want?" And he looked at his other hand and said, "Why can't you guys get organized that way?" It's a saying about ministry. It says, a holy person is a powerful weapon in the hand of God. So the important thing is this. Are you trying to do it on your own? We need you. You need us. God has designed us to be together, to go forward, to serve him and lead others in his name. The church is the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we are all created to belong. At whatever levels, Lord, we have heard and been encouraged or been, Lord, convicted this day, we pray that, Lord, you will move in the hearts of all of us. Above all, Lord, thank you that you made it possible that we could belong. Belong to you, belong to one another, belong with a purpose in this world, and belong eternally with you as our Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can belong through Jesus. It's in his blessed name we pray. Amen.